ladies and gentlemen, I wouldn't mind if the NYPD walked into the Garden or someplace wherever Jalen Brunson is living in New York and put him in handcuffs and arrested him for assault. I wouldn't blame them. That's the kind of abuse he put on James Harden last night.
Say, go New York, go New York, go.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. 888-623-3646. Got a jam-packed show coming your way today. Lots of stuff to get into. NBA, NFL, you know, college sports and the NCAA and potential protests coming down the pike. A list goes on and on and on. There's a lot of stuff to get into, and I'm not going to hesitate to get into it. But the first order of business is orange and blue skies, baby. It's orange and blue skies. That's the New York Knicks. That's what I'm talking about here. Courtesy of a spectacular explosion from Jalen Brunson en route to 38 points for the evening. The New York Knicks overcame a 22-point deficit with a little over 7 minutes left in regulation to push the game into overtime and ultimately beat the Cleveland Cavaliers 115-104. From the approximately 7 minute and 40 second mark, the New York Knicks outscored the Cleveland Cavaliers last 7 minutes plus a regulation, and of course the overtime period, 44-11. I'm gonna repeat that, 44-11. And ladies and gentlemen, I have a slew of emotions to get into right now. Number one, Jalen Brunson just put on a show. I mean, he was spectacular. Make no mistake about it. When it really, really counted, the New York Knicks clearly rusty from a 9-day layoff. Even though OG Anunoby was healthy, they just weren't themselves. They weren't in sync. They didn't look fluid or efficient offensively. Props to the New York Knicks fan base, who could have easily decided to walk out of the building and get themselves ready for game two. They did not leave. And here comes Jalen Brunson, literally switching to make sure that James Harden was on him. I mean, if this were the NFL, the New York Knicks would have been cited for targeting. They would have been cited for targeting because Jalen Brunson targeted James Harden. And I got to tell you, he inflicted such an ass whipping on James Harden. It's one of those moments where James Harden should think about retiring. I mean, that's kind of ass kicking he took. That's kind of ass kicking he took. And it's what you've seen James Harden do to people for years. It's the kind of thing where James Harden had to go home last night and look in the mirror and be like, I got my ass handed to me. I got my ass kicked. It was like that. It was like that. I mean, just going by him, and he had the nerve to have on these glowing sneakers and stuff, these bright sneakers, you know, that flashed in front of your face like neons, or crying out loud. James Harden was wearing those sneakers, so he was easy to spot every single way you turn, to the left, to the right, dancing on, between his legs, pull-up J's, floaters in the lane, step-back three-pointers, all on Harden. That's the kind of show that Jalen Brunson put on. I mean, bust his living ass. And I don't say that making fun or mocking James Harden, because James Harden has done that to quite a few people throughout his career. And I'm quite sure, I think it was apropos that the victimization that he was ending up in embracing, because he had no choice with what Jalen Brunson was doing to him. It came at the hands of a fellow Southpaw in Jalen Brunson that was pulling up from all over the place. I mean, sincerely, literally busting his ass. It was like that. Okay, getting by him at will, to the left, to the right, floaters in the lane, three-point shots. Even by the time Landry Shamet or Mikal Bridges pulled up, James Harden barely wanted to lift his hands because it was like, yo, I mean, he was that demoralized. He was that demoralized. And because that was the reality of the situation, the New York Knicks are up 1-0 in this series, and there is not a soul alive who believes that the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to win the series after that happened. There isn't a soul alive who believes that. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the National Basketball Association we're talking about here. Okay? In this season, prior to the Knicks coming back last night, when trailing by at least 20 points in the fourth quarter, the league was 1-521. That was their record. There was only one comeback from a 20-point fourth quarter deficit this season. The other 521 times that happened to an NBA team this year, they lost. In the playoffs, over 30 years, for which we have play-by-play data, when trailing by at least 20 points in the fourth quarter, the league was 3-748. And keep in mind that the Cavs had won their last 22 games that they led by at least 10 points at any point in the game. But somehow, some way, going up against a Knicks team that was just 2-21 from three-point range through the early minutes of the third quarter, shooting 10%. From that point forward, New York Knicks ended up hitting 8 of their last 11 threes. Donovan Mitchell had about 28, 29 points. Didn't matter. Didn't matter at all. Because the New York Knicks just seemed to do whatever it needed to do when it needed to do it. And props to Mike Brown. Because I'm going to tell you when the key was. The key to all of this was when Mike Brown took Josh Hart out of the game. Josh Hart had 13 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. He was a minus 23 on the floor in game one. Was not his shining moment. But here's what happened. Mike Brown benches Josh Hart. He puts in Landry Shamet. By having Shamet and Brunson in the game together, Mitchell and Harden couldn't hide defensively. And because they couldn't hide defensively, Jalen Brunson just abused Harden. Meanwhile, Mitchell is exhausted. Why? Because it was a Game 7 series against Toronto in the first round. It was a Game 7 series against Detroit in the second round. This was Game 1, the brothers' 15th playoff game. Brothers exhausted. And Kenny Atkinson, widely recognized as a highly respected coach in the National Basketball Association. I mean, you talk about this being a bad moment for him. You got 4 timeouts. You got to use 2 of them before the 3-minute mark, because once the 3-minute mark arrives, you're only allowed to use 2 of them. You lose the 2 timeouts. So inevitably, you use 2 timeouts before the 3-minute mark arrives in a fourth quarter, because you're going to lose them anyway because they take it away from you. Kenny Atkinson didn't use it. In the midst of an 18-1 run by the New York Knicks with Brunson tearing James Harden apart, he did not call a timeout. He did not call a timeout. And before I go any further, let's hear from the coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers as to why he inexplicably did not call a timeout. Listen to this.
Yeah, well, I like to hold my timeouts. I mean, I didn't want to get one timeout at the end of the game. 1 or 2-point game, I try to hold them.
Ladies and gentlemen, that makes no sense. I could be cruel and say, no wonder Kyrie and KD didn't want him as their coach in Brooklyn, which is why he was gone and they brought on Steve Nash. But that would be cruel. He doesn't deserve that. But last night was a horrific coaching performance by Kenny Atkinson. A memorable one we soon will not forget. Because you didn't call a timeout. You made no defensive adjustments. You left Harden hanging by himself on an island to get embarrassed. Embarrassed. I've never seen James Harden get abused like that. And we all know defense is not his thing, not his signature. And he's not alone. There's plenty of stars in the league that ain't really, really known, or their defense is not something you brag home about. There's plenty of that. But the reality of the situation is clear. When you look at a guy like James Harden, and you see what he's bringing to the table, it is what it is. You still don't expect to see that kind of abuse. Ladies and gentlemen, I wouldn't mind if the cops, if the NYPD walked into the Garden or someplace wherever Jalen Brunson is living in New York and put him in handcuffs and arrested him for assault. I wouldn't blame them. That's the kind of abuse he put on James Harden last night. It was that bad. It was that bad that you could legitimately make a case for assault against Jalen Brunson. It was abuse. It was flat out abuse. I don't think there was ever a time in James Harden's career that we've been able to look at him and actually feel sorry for him. That's how bad it was. That's what Jalen Brunson did to him. Shamet coming in and hitting a couple of threes in that run. Mikal Bridges hitting two big-time threes. One a step-back three over Evan Mobley on the right wing. Another in the corner over the outstretched arms of James Harden. But you just looked at him and it's like, it was bad. Oh, my God, it was bad. Oh, my God. It was bad. It was bad. I felt sorry for James Harden. Because defensively, not offensively, because we know he's an all-time great. But defensively, one dude looked like an NBA player. One other dude looked like he didn't even belong on the court. Because James Harden defensively did not belong out there. It was that bad. I just couldn't believe it. It was like 6 or 7 straight possessions where Jalen Brunson just came down and took it to him. And Atkinson, no timeouts, no defensive adjustments, just left Harden. And then, did you hear what, do we have that sound of what he said, Sean, about James Harden as a defender? Do we have that sound from Coach Kenny Atkinson and what he said? Listen to this right here.
Listen, he's been one of our best defenders in these playoffs. I trust him. You know, smart, great hands. Didn't think about that.
Ladies and gentlemen, I was a street baller. I would never tell you, despite my knee injury and all of this other stuff, that I was some good basketball player. Do I believe I could play? Damn right. But damn it, I don't have the evidence to prove it. So crack kneecap and all, it is what it is. Never had that career. But my coach was a living legend in Clarence Big House Gaines. A mentor of his always counseled me, the late, great John McClendon, who helped integrate the sport of basketball. God rest his soul. My first job in college sports was covering John Chaney. My second job was covering Larry Brown. Between Coach Gaines, John McClendon, John Chaney, and Larry Brown, that's over 200 years of wisdom on the sport of basketball that I was personally tutored by. And I'm telling you right now, what Coach Atkinson said in that soundbite right there is one of the most ignorant things I've ever heard come out of a coach's mouth. You trust James Harden? Defensively, he's been playing great defense for you all year long. Yes, he drew an offensive foul against Jalen Brunson. That's true. That's true. But the point is, nobody would accuse James Harden of being a good defensive player. No one. That's just not true. But even if it was, when you see a player getting abused like that, and you watch a 22-point lead dissipate before your very eyes. You witness it. It's right there for you. You know what you don't do? Nothing. Nothing is what you don't do. You use one, if not both, of those timeouts. You change schemes dramatically. You double up Jalen Brunson just to get the ball out of his hands. You deny him the ball to make sure he doesn't get it back. You might try putting a bigger defender on him. Offensively, you might remember that Max Strus has produced for you with his perimeter shooting. Get him involved. Call a timeout to give James Harden a breather or to give Donovan Mitchell a breather. Disrupt the tempo. Do something. Kenny Atkinson did nothing. And because of that, the New York Knicks, winners of now 8 consecutive playoff games, which is a franchise record, by a combined 196 points or an average of 24.5 points per game, are now one up in this best of 7 series. One up in this best of 7 series. No way around it. No way around it. And I'm looking at it from that standpoint, and I'm saying, my God, what a spectacular comeback by the New York Knicks. One of the greatest that we've ever seen. What an assault inflicted upon James Harden, the likes of which we don't know if he will ever mentally and emotionally recover from the ass whipping he took last night. And then on top of that all, this series, as dramatic as it was, as spectacular as Jalen Brunson was hitting 8 of his 12 shots whenever James Harden was guarding him as a primary defender, making 8 of his final 10 shots in the game while Harden and Donovan Mitchell missed a combined 9 of their final 10 shots. Even with all of that said, and as dramatic as last night was, that's the appetizer. Even that doesn't compare to what we've seen in game 1 from San Antonio and Oklahoma City with game 2 tonight. Because Victor Wembanyama stood there and watched Shai Gilgeous-Alexander hoist the league MVP trophy. Literally with this look in his eyes like, that belongs to me. Then proceeded to go out and show it by dropping 41 with 24 rebounds and a couple of block shots. And not only did he do that, but he bust Chet Holmgren's living ass too. Not to the degree that Harden, but Wimby was all over Chet Holmgren. Chet Holmgren shot 6 of 12. I'm sorry, Wimby shot 6 of 12 from the field whenever defended by Chet Holmgren. Shot a combined 9 of 10 when defended by Alex Caruso and Jalen Williams. Chet Holmgren was nowhere to be found when it came to helping to neutralize Wembanyama, with the exception of one good block. That's it. This is supposed to be your nemesis. This is supposed to be your enemy. You're Chet Holmgren. I understand you ain't 7'5", but you are 7'1". Why in the hell are you not guarding Wimby when he's 10 feet and in? How is Alex Caruso or Jalen Williams, who barely come up to his chest, guarding him, but you're not? You got to accept and embrace that challenge. You got to own it. You got to say, I'm Chet Holmgren. I ain't no scrub. I know you, Wimby, and you're going to get yours, but damn it, I'm going to find a way to get mine. That's what you got to be doing. That's not what we've seen. It's not what we've seen. Instead, we're seeing a Chet Holmgren that's sitting around watching in game 1 anyway, watching Alex Caruso guard Victor Wembanyama. Now, this is the same Chet Holmgren who's a major factor in the first two playoff series, averaging 18.6 points on 60% shooting, along with 9 rebounds, entering the conference finals. Yet this brother is going up against the Spurs, 8 points on 2 of 7 shooting, 2 of 4 from three. What are we talking about here? In the second half and overtime, Holmgren had a combined 3 points on 1 of 5 shooting. Do you know when Victor Wembanyama was guarding him, he only took one shot? What are you talking about? It's unacceptable. Oklahoma City can't beat San Antonio that way. And let me be very, very clear. Oklahoma City is the reigning defending NBA champions with the reigning league MVP, back-to-back MVPs now for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who I believe needs to drop 30 tonight and will drop 30 tonight. I want to state this for the record because this is incredibly important that I say this. If Oklahoma City doesn't win tonight, San Antonio is going to the finals. The San Antonio Spurs are not losing 4 out of 5 to Oklahoma City with 5 games left in this series after tonight. This is a must win for the Oklahoma City Thunder. If they win, you've got yourself a series and they can still close this out in 7. If you lose, Oklahoma City is not going to the NBA Finals. They are not beating San Antonio 4-5. They will lose this series. This is a must-win game 2. If the Oklahoma City Thunder lose this game tonight, everybody get ready to be down in San Antonio at the Riverwalk. Get ready to pack your bags, make your reservations. Understand that this is what it is. Get set. This is how it's going down. Ain't no way around it, y'all. It's not going to happen any other way. I'm not asking you. I'm telling you what I know. Oklahoma City better win this game tonight. Otherwise, you can write the epitaph. Season's over. They're going home. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up this. 888-623-3646. The one and only Alan Hahn. ESPN Radio. Does work calling the Knicks games for MSG. He's going to be on to talk with us about what transpired last night as well. Plus your phone calls and more to get into. It's a lot to get into today. Make no mistake about it. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show. Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, back with more in a minute.